Welcome to another episode of Benching in the Kitchen. Today I have the pleasure of having one of my close friends join me via Zencastr. Wesley, say hi to the audience.
Hello, audience. It's Wesley.
I gotta tell you, I'm excited to go through this together. From the day I met you, I just found and I knew that God was working through it. But now I can clearly see a 2020 vision that we were meant to be friends. And I am just joyful that that's the step. And I cannot wait for others to discover your friendship, for those to come and for those who are still pondering if they should be your friend.
Thank you, Pablo. Thanks, buddy. I've been really excited to do this. Not only have I been doing benches in the kitchen, I've also been doing squats and cleans. So I've been doing the big three just in prep for this this podcast. But you're an awesome friend, bro. I love you so much. And I just think you're a mighty man of God. And thanks for those kind words about me as a friend. That was very nice.
You're welcome, my brother. It's all because I see the spirit living in you. And I'm just I get motivated every time I talk to you. I want to begin discussing, like with every other interview, Philippians 2:12. I just want to hear your perspective, what your understanding of that is, and what you can impart from that to others. And that reads, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." As you hear this verse, what are your thoughts?
I really love that verse. I think it's beautiful. I think when you see what it cost God to save us, you recognize that the process of walking it out is very important. And I love the whole, I love the idea of the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is a gift from God. And as is trembling, both this fear and this trembling that we see in this passage are actual representations of people encountering the very real presence of God. And so when I look at this passage, I don't necessarily see this place where I have to carry something out by my works or by doing things in order to earn something from God. It looks like it's already been earned. And now I'm walking out of the reality of being aware of a God who loves me, who's given his son for me, and has called me to very special things since the beginning of the world. From the foundation of the world, he's called me into the works that he's given me today. And so it behooves me, it's very critical for me to every day to consider what it is that the Lord is asking me to do and to walk that out in holiness and in fear. And I love thinking of fear. I've heard this before. I love the concept of fear, the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord comes from, it's kind of like if you had a picture. It's like you're walking on a cliff or you're walking on a mountain road and you're overlooking a beautiful vista. And you can see either the sea underneath, or even the like the big city underneath, or you just see other rolling hills. Or say you're standing like at somewhere on a bluff in San Diego, and you're able to look out at the ocean. Like you get to see these beautiful things standing on these heights, but yet one step off, and you can fall into death, into destruction. And I feel like the fear of the Lord is just this. A holy awe and reverence of the Lord to see kind of the vistas he's opened up on our behalf through his grace, and how dangerous and destructive it is for us to fall away from his love. And so when I think of this working out our salvation with fear and trembling, that's what I think of. It's like the Lord gives us this incredible awe and fear of what he's done in our hearts, and it makes sin look incredibly ugly in all these other distractions and detours look stupid. And so that's what that verse means to me. I believe God has given me a heavenly calling. He calls me to great things, wonderful things. And I don't want to jeopardize the great calling of God in Christ on my life with things that don't matter.
And that's why I wanted to bring you in, because of that type of wisdom you impart. I love that.
Thanks, bro.
I have not seen a definition that I don't agree with. I love everybody's perspective. God gives us each one of us the perspective based on where we at in life. And I just love, I really resonate with yours. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. My pleasure.
I know you, but my listeners don't. Let's talk about a little bit about you. Tell me your name, your complete name, something about you. You know, where do you work? If you're married, if you have kids, what church do you attend to?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Wesley Daniel Hall. My wife's name is Rachel. I have two kids, a six-year-old and a three-year-old. My son's name is Samuel. He's six. My daughter, her name is Saoirse, and she's three. And we actually attend a non-denominational church up in LA called Firepoint Church. It's a seven-year-old church plant. And they partner with us in order to preach the gospel on campuses all throughout LA. So my job title would be campus pastor / campus missionary. And my real dream is to reach unreached students on campuses in LA and all over the US and the world with the gospel, and to raise up leaders who have a passion for preaching the gospel as well.
Awesome. And I can see that in you. I'm really happy to be part of your team in that way.
Yeah, really, man, thank you. You're awesome, bro. Thank you so much.
Could you briefly share with us, when did your relationship with Jesus begin?
Yeah, so I was maybe 8 or 9 years old as a little kid, and my folks sent me off to a church camp. And at the time, everything that I experienced with God had been very routine and ritualistic. It wasn't real, vital, alive in my life. It was more of a chore and a burden to go to church. I actually hated going, but my folks made me go every Sunday and every Wednesday at the time. Well, we would go twice on Sundays and once on Wednesday. Morning services, evening services, Wednesday night services. We were going all the time. But then I went to this church camp, and a man began preaching the gospel to us. And he preached about Jesus and how Jesus is the exact representation of the Father on earth. That if we really wanted to know what God was like and how he felt about us, we would actually get that full portrait in Jesus himself. And then he actually began sharing the gospel, and he said that those who come to Christ, he'll never turn away. He'll forgive their sins and cleanse them of their sins and reestablish their relationship with God. But those who actually deny God and rebel against God, they'll spend an eternity in separation from God. They'll go to hell. And so I was convicted by two things. One, that I had readily sinned against God and willfully disobeyed him. And I actually began to see in my heart that I had even begun to disobey God and rebel against God. And I went to this camp, and every night this man preached the gospel, and every night I refused to respond to the gospel until the second to last evening. I finally, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, went to an altar. They did an altar call at that time. And I just reached out to Christ for the first time. And it was in that moment that Christ revealed himself to me, forgive me of my sins, cleansed me of my sins, and I became a born-again Christian. And I remember from that moment on knowing that God is my Father, and Christ loved me and gave himself for me, and that I was forgiven of my sins. And so then at that point, that next day, I started reading the Bible. And before that experience with God at that altar, I would read the Bible, and none of it made sense, and it really wasn't interested in it. But then I began reading the scriptures. I started with Psalm 1, and it was just like life to my soul. It made sense to me. It fed me. It was nourishing to me. I remember that following the next Sunday after that encounter with God and that transformation experience, being born again, that for the first time, as I was worshiping the Lord with the church I was attending, I could actually discern the presence of the Lord and his Holy Spirit. And it wasn't necessarily a feeling, it wasn't an emotion, it was just a very real awareness of God's presence. And that was a very new experience to me. And so that's how I became a believer. That's when I started following Jesus, and that's when I was born again.
Thank you for sharing. I love these stories. I could always get captivated because they're all different, because it just gives me hope of the people that it's around me. And I can see them going through struggles, and I'm like, you're going to get called one of these days. I know you are. God wants all his people. So thank you for giving that hope to listeners and to myself.
Absolutely. And I would share one other thing too, is that even though I had that encounter with Christ when I was younger and I was transformed from the inside out, I also had moments of failure and mistake and hard-heartedness. But what I can say with complete certainty is that the Lord has been faithful to me my entire life, into and drawing me back into himself, strengthening me, healing me, forgiving me, speaking to me. I really believe strongly that the whole life of the Christian is dependent entirely upon the working of God's grace within us. And that it's the working of the Holy Spirit within us that causes us to be born again. And it's the working of the Holy Spirit that causes us to be essentially like effective in the work that he's called us to. And I've just noticed how God has been incredibly faithful to me and merciful to me and gracious to me to enable me to continue after him, even in those times that I would have fallen away or strayed or had my own questions or my own doubts, etc. And I believe that's one of the things that we miss out on preaching in the gospel. It's something that has to be recovered in our preaching of the gospel. And it's that the gospel is really about a God who rules and reigns over the entire universe and who has power to save us and redeem us to the uttermost. That's actually in scripture. And that even while we were sons of disobedience, it was by his grace that he gave us faith. And it's that faith that saves us and makes us new. And so if we have any listeners today who don't know if they're actually born of God, born of the Holy Spirit, there are two things I want to tell you. One, if you've never been born of God, today is the day. And Jesus Christ, when you come to him, will never cast you out. And the second thing today is that if you've had a revelatory moment with God where you were transformed from the inside out and you were born again, but yet your life is dry and your faith is cold, then I want you to know that there is a refreshing of life by the power of the Spirit of God, and that as you draw near to God, he promises to draw near to you and redeem you and restore you, refresh you, and make your life new, even in the midst of your weaknesses, your sins, your shames, your mistakes. The righteous fall 7 times, but yet they get back up again. And so I'm just calling you out today, if you are in need of a refreshing from the Lord, he promises his refreshing to us in Christ Jesus, and he promises to give us the Holy Spirit to refresh us and renew us and restore us. And I have a whole story of how he did that for me, which I don't know if I have time to share right now, but I'm willing to.
Please. I am sitting here
awesome.
With my eyes closed, just thanking the Lord that this is another venue where he can speak through us for us. Right.
Yeah. Bro.
So this is all his, man. Let's just, whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you to say, please do.
Cool. So I went to seminary, Fuller Theological Seminary, or as some people like to jokingly call cemeteries. And I actually really, really enjoyed seminary, but I kind of went into seminary from this place of real brokenness and hurt and even some very evident areas of sin in my life that I've been carrying on to. The Holy Spirit had been convicting me of, but I've been very disobedient in. And it actually, this is one of the things that I would just impress upon people, but unbelief, so this place where we doubt the promises of God, where we're deciding not to follow God, the bosom buddy, if you will, of unbelief is lukewarmness. And so if you show me a lukewarm Christian, I can show you a Christian who's struggling with doubt and unbelief. The people who are on fire for God don't struggle with unbelief. They have questions about things. There's no question about that. But they have a certain relationship with God where the Holy Spirit is able and willing to answer their questions. And they have a zeal from the Holy Spirit that empowers them to blaze even in the midst of questions, because they've allowed themselves to trust God completely, to rely upon him in faith. And so I was one of those people who was wrestling with unbelief and lukewarmness at the same time, as well as just the ugly state of my soul. And what got me through seminary was just the belief that God loved me, that he actually did have a plan for me, and that things were going to work out. I didn't know how they were going to. This seminary was a very dry time for me. It wasn't until the end of my time at seminary that I was working as a barista at a coffee shop on campus at Fuller. And this guy came up, and he and I just started a friendship. He was this dude from the Midwest who moved out to California, and he worked with community college students. He was like a mentor for community college students. And it just so happened to come to my coffee shop that day. And just a really nice guy named Greg Richardson. And Greg Richardson and I just became friends. And so he would come into the coffee shop, and I'd say hi to him. He'd say hi to me. But then I discovered that he was actually trained as a spiritual director. And I had never heard of spiritual direction. I had no idea what it was. But these are just people who are trained to ask really thoughtful spiritual questions, to pray with people, and to essentially like facilitate spiritual growth in the people who come to them. And he was actually trained through an order of monks called the Order of New Kamaldoli. He was called a lay oblate. And a lay oblate is not a monk. They're just somebody who kind of like attend to the rules of the monastic order. I know it's kind of crazy, but it just shows you God uses all kinds of things to draw people back to himself. And anyway, I started this relationship with him. And I asked him to be my spiritual director. And I remember one time him asking me the question, so what's happening right now in your spiritual walk? What's happening in your life with God? I said, oh, you know, I'm good. Nothing's really happening. And he said, well, I would challenge you that there are things happening. And he began to ask me questions. And he was the kind of guy who would ask a single question that would just leave me in tears. He would just hear and listen well, and the Holy Spirit would lead him to a certain question to ask me. He'd be prompted, he'd ask it to me, he'd just leave me in tears. And what I began to cultivate in this time was a real hunger to know the voice of God and to know God personally. And I'd gone through seminary and I'd studied a lot of things and had a knowledge about God and about theology and about church and this kind of thing. I could tell you the things I knew about God, but I couldn't really at the time say that I really know God and that God knows me. I was very desperate and very hungry. So then it was at this time that he started sharing with me about the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in the church fathers, and how God used these church fathers by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to really lead men and women into deeper walks with Christ. And that really stirred me up. And I just came into this conviction that I really needed to know the Holy Spirit personally. I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to walk with the Lord, and even just to fulfill any sort of ministry calling with Him. And so I began reading the Gospels. And Jesus would send out the 12, He'd send out the 70, and He'd send them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And I realized that that kind of work of ministry, I'd never seen it. I'd never seen anyone do it. But I believed it. I believed that it was still something for today. And so I began asking the Lord for the power to do that kind of ministry by the working of the Holy Spirit. And it just so happened that I'd been praying this for a while. I graduated from seminary. I was working as a college pastor at a church in Pasadena. And we went on this missions trip to Nicaragua. And it was in Nicaragua that I met someone named Rachel, who then 6 months later became my wife. She was she's a nurse here in LA, and she'd come to this trip. I had never met her before until we actually landed in Nicaragua. Then I met her for the first time. But she invited me to this Bible study. And at this Bible study that she invited me to, she said about the Bible study, first of all, she said, so just so you know, the people of this Bible study really love the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, that's great. I love the Holy Spirit and I want more of the Holy Spirit. Well, I got to the Bible study. These people really, really love the Holy Spirit. And there was all kinds of kookiness and craziness going on that I'd never experienced or seen inside of my own experience, other than in one other time when I was in high school. But then this man got up. And he had been praying before I came, because Rachel had mentioned to this man, and the man was the one leading the Bible study, had mentioned that I was coming to the home. And the man stood up and he just began to share what the Lord had shown him. And he simply shared the verse from Acts chapter 2, verse 28, about how in those days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And he then began to share with me how I had been seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how the Lord would be faithful to give that baptism to me, and that the Lord would empower me to do the ministries that He called me to. And then even began to prophesy about the effectiveness of my ministry, what I'd be doing in our ministry, And I just began to weep because it was like this man had read just the inner workings of my heart. Like if my heart was a journal that only the Lord and I knew, it was like the Lord had said, hey, I want you to share this part of the journal with Wesley Back to let him know that I'm hearing and I see it. And it just wrecked me. And it was from that moment on that I knew that one, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still evident today and still at work. And that they're two, they're available to believers who are willing to yield to the Holy Spirit to be used by the Holy Spirit in that function. Because I just experienced the working of the Holy Spirit through that process. I just saw the Lord from the beginning to the end of my story, working all things together for my good. And even more, leading me to a place of being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, in love with the Holy Spirit, even drunk in the Holy Spirit, to just be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit in every moment. And I'm still longing for that infilling and for that just complete, just that complete filling of the Holy Spirit on my life. I want more and more of the Lord. I want more and more of the things of Christ, more and more of the things of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I learned in this process is that I often would kind of short God on his capacity to change my life and to enable me to do mighty things for him. And even I would kind of like limit God and his ability to rescue me, redeem me, forgive me, cleanse me, heal me. So just to give you an example, at that time when I went to this Bible study, I'd been struggling with an addiction to cigarettes. So I would smoke about a pack and a half of cigarettes every day. And I only did a pack and a half because that was all the time I had. But I remember actually attending this Bible study one Sunday and just weeping over just the struggle with smoking cigarettes. And my friend prayed for me and asked the Lord to actually heal me and to remove the desire of smoking from my life. I remember praying to the Lord with tears, calling out to him. And it was that Friday evening that the Lord delivered me from a desire to smoke cigarettes and completely removed the desire from my life. And I haven't desired or wanted a cigarette since. And that was one of the ways the Lord really worked in me mightily. And so I continued to go to this Bible study. And then on it was my 30th birthday, so it was November 10th, 2012. I turned 30, I proposed to my wife, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit all on the same day. And it was a place where the Lord marked my life for ministry to be his witness. So I don't know where all of your listeners stand on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm just going to go for it a little bit. This is just what I believe, so you can take it or leave it. But I really believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. I don't necessarily believe that it's evidenced by tongues. I actually believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifold and they are meant to be manifest according to the good of all. But I do remember on that November 10th being baptized in the Holy Spirit, actually falling to the floor. I remember shaking and even crying out in tongues. And I remember the overwhelming peace and presence of the Lord to refresh and strengthen my soul and my spirit. And it was from that moment on that I knew the Lord had marked me for a new ministry in the gospel. And that gospel ministry was preaching to students and declaring the gospel to the never churched and the unreached. And it was a tremendous marking moment in my life where the Lord really set me apart for what he called me into. So it was a really powerful experience. And I would just encourage you. In fact, I'm going to pray something now for each person that would listen to this. Lord Jesus, I ask that for every listener who would listen to this podcast, that you would baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and that you'd give them that baptism with the evidence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that, Lord, you'd especially mark them with the gift to prophesy. And the gift of prophecy in this time, I believe, according to the Holy Spirit, is a gift that allows us by the Holy Spirit to see things that are to come, which is actually spoken of in the Gospel of John. In John chapter, it's either 15 or 16, I believe it's 16. It says that when he is come, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will show us all things to come, and he will reveal to us the things that belong to Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is here today, ministering those things of Christ to us and glorifying Christ within us and showing us things to come. But also, according to 1 Corinthians 12, the Lord teaches us, Paul teaches us, essentially, through the Lord, the Lord teaches us through Paul, that the gift of prophecy is to encourage, exhort, and comfort. It's to edify and strengthen, encourage and support and build up the body of Christ. And more than ever, and Paul even says, pray for the greater gifts of the Spirit, especially that you would prophesy. We need a people, of God who are so possessed by the Holy Spirit that they're able to share the things that God has shown them with those around them, and who can actually share God's heart with the lost, with the broken, with the backslidden, with the hurting. We need to be able to minister the word of the Lord well to people around us, and he wants us to prophesy. So I even pray that the Lord will give each person listening to this a grace to prophesy, to encourage, to strengthen, exhort, and comfort in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's my story.
And that is a beautiful story. I think every time I talk to you and you talk to me about the Holy Spirit, I'm just like, I want to do it. Let's do this. And I do it every time. You know, it's nice. Passionate. Cool. It's the passion of that you have, and the connection that you have to the Lord that just motivates me. So that's my hope, that it motivates someone else, right? If we touch one person, that person decides to turn around and give their life to Jesus. We did what we could, right?
That's right, bro.
You know, the essence of this podcast is talking about how this is a daily workout, right? I've noticed that a lot of people that I talk to, they don't pray, they don't read, because they think because they did it on Sunday, they're good for the whole week. And I thought the same thing. But throughout the years of being walking with the Lord, I realized, not really. I wake up in the morning and I'm just thanking him, right? So let's talk about that routine for you. What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
Well, the first thing I do in the morning is I wake up and it just changes morning by morning, but I wake up in the morning. The first thing I do regularly every morning is I go downstairs and I make coffee and I unload the dishwasher. That's the first thing I do every morning.
Hey, it's a servitude right there. You know, so your wife doesn't have to do it, you do it. I get it. An amazing thing. How important it is for you to set apart time to read scripture, pray for others, and even call others throughout the day.
I once heard this statement, and I think this is very, very important. But some people will say we need to pray in order to maintain our Christian life. But the opposite is true. We need to maintain our Christian life in order to pray. And so the reason I think that's so important is that, well, first of all, everything begins and ends in prayer. If you're looking to do something big for God, you have to be a person of prayer. You have to be willing to put in the time and the sacrifice to really know the heart of God and to know what he has to say to you and to others. And so we hear in so many different passages in scripture. One of my favorites is in Isaiah 33:3. No, it's Jeremiah 33:3. I'm gonna share it with you real quick.
Yeah.
Let me show you this. I'm gonna talk about prayer. That's what I'm gonna talk about.
Thank you.
So in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." I'm gonna show you another verse now. I love this verse. And it's in Isaiah 50:4. And it says this. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as to learn. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I love this. So for me, I think that my morning routine will change based on what it is that the Lord is impressing upon my heart to do. So some mornings, for example, this morning, I opened my Bible and I listened to the epistle of James. And so I listened to that and I looked at different things, and the Lord impressed certain scriptures and thoughts upon my heart, and then I wrote those down in the journal. Some mornings the Lord wakes me up and he essentially just starts teaching me things, or he just wants me to wait upon him in silence. And so I've noticed there are mornings when the Lord will wake me up really, really early, and I won't be able to go back to sleep, and I'll just go downstairs and I spend these just tremendous times with the Lord, where he ministers to me, speaks to me, shows me things. And usually it's in those mornings that he gives me something that I'm able to give to others. That's why Isaiah 50 verse 4 is such an important verse to my life. I really believe the Lord has given me that verse so that I know when he wakes me up, he's given me something that I can give to others. But then, I think, there are certain things that are better for us to do in other things. I believe one of the places where we really struggle and that we really need to kind of develop, and I can see this in my own life, is actually waiting on the Lord. So in Isaiah chapter, is it 40? Yeah. It talks about those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they will not faint. But this waiting on the Lord is really just giving God time to be God. It's about going before him without any kind of motivation or agenda for something to receive, and just simply giving him the worship and honor and time that he's due. So many of us don't give God the time he deserves, including myself. And just frankly, I could do a lot better in that arena. And I see every day, moment by moment, how the Lord is calling me to give him more one-on-one time. And, when you look at Jesus' own lifestyle of prayer, Jesus would go in the evening times. He'd go to a very deserted place and he'd pray. And he'd spend the entire evening in prayer. He'd just be gone. What it teaches me, what it shows to me, is that what the Lord would do is he'd get away with God, to be alone with God, give him time, and give God the time to speak to him. And he wouldn't leave until God had spoken. And that's just something that we're lacking today. We lack this devotion to time with God. We lack that. I'm speaking for myself. I can feel the holding back in my own life. Oh, just being alone with God in the evenings, giving him an entire evening, and sacrificing sleep, sacrificing these things that I feel that I need for security in order to find my God and to hear my God's voice and to recognize his presence and to allow him to minister to me, but also for me to minister to him, of which he's very worthy. And so I believe that a lot of our shortcomings, our failures, our lack of vision, our lack of ability, the reason that sin becomes so prevalent even in the believer's walk, is because of this lack of time with God, waiting on God, and really waiting for his presence. Because it's this abiding in Christ. And that's what Christ was doing with his Father. He was abiding with his Father. He'd leave and abide with his Father and commune and fellowship with God, like real fellowship with God, just giving God time. That's what this abiding with Christ is for us, just giving him time. Not having to read 30 chapters of the Bible every day, or going through this regimen or routine or ritual of doing this certain thing. There are certain disciplines that we want to do every day. That's the part of maintaining our Christian life. But I believe those look more like loving our neighbors well. I believe it's loving our families well. I believe it's being attentive to what God is speaking in every moment and inviting the Holy Spirit to lead every action and every thought and every decision of our day. I believe that's the way we maintain our Christian life. But I believe it's prayer, this intimacy and fellowship with God, that actually enlarges our knowledge of Him and even enables us to walk in greater power with God and even to see things to come and to be able to deal with them well. I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see just widespread awakening and revival is because we haven't given God the time to show us how to do it. We have our own thoughts, our own agendas, our own plans on how it's supposed to go and look, but yet we don't give God the time to really show us what to do. And we don't actually devote ourselves to God as living sacrifices, as vessels of honor, ready for His infilling, for His fire to fall. And that's one of the things that in my life I recognize a greater need for, and I believe that that's what men, I believe especially for men are called to be like Christ Jesus, with their families, at their jobs, with their neighbors, with strangers. But the only way they can be like Him is if they spend time with Him, and we don't know how to spend time with Him. But I really believe the Lord is actually going to revitalize that in our midst and make it to where we long for His time, we want to be in His presence, and where we don't even have to be ritualistic or regimented about it. We'll just find ways of walking in His life. And that's where the infilling of the Holy Spirit becomes absolutely essential, because we can actually live in consistent, continuous fellowship with the Holy Spirit as a river of living water within us. That's what Jesus says, "Those who believe on Me, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And He's speaking this of the Holy Spirit. And so the life of faith is one, it's a belief in Jesus Christ as a resurrected King of glory who gives the Holy Spirit as a river of living water, a living hope, a living promise, a living encouragement and comfort and a strength for every new day, every new challenge. So that's what I would say. I think I kind of departed from your question a little bit. I kind of got a little long-winded.
No. It's fine. You answered two questions and okay. 16,000 questions in one. It's okay.
But okay,
that's the beauty of what I'm trying to do, my hope with what God's given me. It's, you know, this audience, right? Or the opportunity to be in an audience is, we all have a different definition, but at the same time, we're just called to be with Him. And I also agree. I used to try to consume books and I didn't understand them until I sat down and I just said, "Lord, I just want to be with You. If it's 3 minutes, I just wanted 3 minutes of undivided attention with You. Nothing else matters in this 3 minutes." And what I've received from that, it's more valuable than spending 20,000 hours but being distracted because the world is happening. And I think that was the point from what I was hearing you. I think that's what you were trying to say, is that when you're giving your time to the Lord, whether it's in the morning, in the evening, or throughout the day, is truly give it to Him, truly connect with Him and forget about everything else. And the wisdom that you receive from that, the love that you receive from that, you know, it's valuable. You know, it's amazing. And that's been happening to me. So I agree with what you're saying. Is there a favorite verse that you have, Wesley? Something that you just go to all the time, or something that just calls your heart, or something that it is right now that, you know, you're living?
That's a good question. I would say that Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, is one of my go-to passages right now. It's kind of like I often feel led to share that with people and to encourage them to believe that God will awaken them every day with a new word to sustain the weary, and that the Lord loves sustaining us in our weariness, and the Lord sustains us and comforts us that we might actually sustain and comfort the weary ones around us. And I believe that verse is very important for today, because there are a lot of weary ones around us who need great comfort and who need words of hope. We can try to share words of hope with people and words of comfort and often fall short. But if we have a word from the Lord by which we are sustained, when we give it to others, it becomes a grace to them as well. So I would say that's one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 50, verse 4. But I'd also say that, you know, there are a lot of, yeah, that one's one that stands out to my mind. But I don't really have a favorite verse. I have a lot of favorite verses. I just get a lot from my time with God in the scriptures. I get a lot from the Word of God. One of my favorite practices is actually reading the Bible out loud and then praying over what I've read. And I always find that unleashes grace in my life. It just makes me so strong and just strengthens me and encourages me. The Bible comes alive when I do that. And I honestly, a lot of the stuff that I give to others as ministry or as encouragement is stuff that God has given me in my time in scripture. And it just reminds me of certain things to give. So like today, I was learning about wisdom, about asking God for wisdom, because he loves to give wisdom and he doesn't look down on us for asking for wisdom. And it talks about how the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I started to consider that in the context of what he's talking about in the first chapter of James, because he talks about how consider it joy, my brothers, when you are tested, you're tempted, because the patience by which you endure these temptations actually increases and strengthens your faith and makes you complete, perfect, lacking nothing. And so then I look at that and connect it to the context of asking the Father for wisdom. The place where we actually apply this faith and asking God for wisdom, he says, those who ask and don't believe or doubt will never get what they ask God for. But the way we actually exercise faith in asking God for wisdom is by patiently and diligently asking God for wisdom. Faith becomes a work, an action, by which we believe God will give us wisdom if we continue to ask him for it, if we're patient in asking God for wisdom. Because it's his great joy to give us wisdom. And he gives us wisdom. We don't even know he's given it to us yet until it begins to manifest itself through the way we behave, the way we speak, and the way we tackle certain obstacles. So that was one of my favorite today. I just had this new encouragement and boldness to continue in faith and patience to ask God for wisdom and for the other promises he's promised.
And I like that. Thank you. And that's what I enjoy, that we read, we understand, we get wisdom, and it's not for us to hold on to it. God wants us to impart it to someone else, and he'll make it happen. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't remember scripture. I'm like, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will remind you. There'll be times where I'm like, besides scripture, Wesley, is there anything else you're consuming? Books, devotionals, music? Anything that you're using to fortify your faith?
Yes. So right now, I'm reading, I've been reading this book for like months now, but I love it. It's one of my favorite books of all time. But I'm reading a biography on the life of George Whitefield, who was the evangelist of the 18th century revival, alongside people like John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And it's just a huge, huge encouragement of a book. It's just incredible. I love it. And then I'm also reading a book called With Christ in the School of Prayer, which is a book by a man named Andrew Murray. And right now, the two main prayers in my life is that the Lord would show me the state of my soul. I want to know where my soul is so that I know where to ask for his grace and his strength. And also that the Lord would empower me to walk in the Holy Spirit in everything. But then I guess there's a third question. This is definitely a big question I asked the Lord. I asked the Lord to teach me how to pray. I'm just so convinced that I really have just touched the beginning surfaces of really learning how to pray and to pray what God is asking me to pray and what even Christ is praying on our behalf right now. And so I've been asking the Lord to teach me to pray. And so it's been really cool because he's been showing me a lot of new lessons through this book and through scripture and through my time with him. But yeah, so those are the two things I'm reading right now. And then I'm getting ready to start the second, this biography is two volumes. I'm getting ready to start that second volume of that book. And then there's a couple of really great books that I'm looking at reading after I finish these. One is called Discipleship Re-Revolution, and it's about making disciples and actually making discipleship movements happen, the really simple rhythms of life. And I love that. And then the other book is a book called Spiritual Leadership by a man named Oswald Chambers that I'm really, really excited to read. I really, right now, I'm just really interested and the people who've gone before, who just had a very deep experience with God and have a lot to share. So yeah, that's what I'm reading.
Cool. I hope someone can pick one of those books. You're the second person that I interviewed that talks about people from the 1800s and how their revival happened. I read George Mueller and I was captivated by the
film. Yeah.
I don't know if it's because the technology was non-existent. I don't know what it was, but during that time period, man, their faith was strong. And George Mueller's demonstrated that extremely. Like the Wesley, the day is over. Your kids are on to bed, which you have kids almost the same age as mine. You know, what is the last thing you do before you close your eyes?
Yeah, so I pray over my dreams, my wife's dreams, my children's dreams. I ask the Heavenly Father to anoint our sleep with the Holy Spirit. And I pray the blood of Jesus over our thoughts. And I ask God to fill us with His thoughts. I ask God to remove any thoughts that aren't from Him out of the room, so that we'll have rest-filled, peace-filled sleep and we'll have dreams from the Lord. And then I read scripture before I go to sleep. So I'll just open up the Bible and I just kind of talk with God and pray the scripture. And so what I notice is usually as I go to bed that way, like this, just like, for example, this past evening, I woke up in prayer. I had a dream that I was baptizing people, which was cool. And then the Lord was kind of showing me something that I had to consider. I just woke up like in intercession for people, praying for people, praying to the Lord, connecting with God in the Spirit. And that was just super legit. So I try to do things at nighttime to allow myself to have essentially these just conversations and experiences with God as I go to sleep. Usually it's through scripture or I'll read a book. I also like to listen to sermons on occasion. Right now I'm not listening to as many sermons. Right now I'm more focused on scripture. But I've got some preachers that I really, really love listening to. And I usually put those on at night. Or I read my Power of Prayer book. I'll read Charles Spurgeon's Daily Devotional. He has a morning and evening reading that's really good that I really love listening to. He's just an amazingly gifted man of God. And then, scripture. That's what I go to at night.
Cool. Thank you. These last three questions is the last part of the podcast. They're not the hard-hitting questions, but they are deep questions.
Nice.
What is one area that you're seeking to surrender and why?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So I ask the Lord pretty much every day to show me what's going on in my life that I need to surrender. And one of the continuous things that the Lord brings me to is pride. And pride is a very subtle and insidious foe. And it manifests itself in so many ways. And so I actually see that as being continuous prayer and just me relying on the Lord to walk me away from that and walk me into His humility. Then I would say the big thing that the Lord is actually teaching me to do right now is as I'm discerning the state of my soul, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is to recognize the places in my life where there is weakness, where I'm weak, and to invite Him to give me strength in those areas. So a place where I am, I guess right now where I'd say I see my weakness is it's very easy for me if somebody kind of comes up to me and approaches me and says, hey, I want you to do this. I often find myself kind of being retaliatory, whether it's my wife or my father-in-law. And so I'm asking the Lord to empower me to be patient and loving. And to even, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but to say yes and not to say no. So I'm asking the Lord to help me to be able to say yes more often, which probably kind of goes against what people are taught about boundaries. But I'm learning how to be boundaried in the way I say yes. And so I'm learning how to say, I can definitely do that in this time frame, and I can get to that for you. Right now, I'm going to finish this and this. So I'm trying to be less retaliatory, less anxious, and I'm asking the Lord to help me to be more of a man who loves to serve those around him with a yes, with help, encouragement, etc. and fulfilling my yes.
You're going to resonate with a lot of us, I know. And I'm wondering, should I be saying yes more often? Not all the time, but more often, you know?
Exactly.
How important is community to you?
I think it's incredibly vital. And I think, too, it kind of determines on what kind of community we're talking about, because not all community is equal. When it comes to my wife, that's very important community. And I work very hard to not disengage from Rachel. Community with the Holy Spirit, community with the Lord, very important to me. And learning to maintain that and commune with them continually, very important. Communing with like-minded believers who the Lord has united me to, it's very, very important to me. I'm of the thought that I receive a lot of grace from the Lord through the community that I'm a part of. Now, I also have to discern from the Lord which community he's saying yes to and which one he's saying no to. And I'm also having to discern, from the Lord what he's asking me to do in each community. Some communities I'm going to receive from, some communities I'm going to give to, some communities I'm going to encourage, etc. You know, the Lord, though, never asks me to distance myself from community. Different communities will get a different level of my vulnerability, depending on how the Lord leads me. But, you know, the Lord tells us in Hebrews to encourage one another as long as today is today, in order that none of us would be overcome by the deceitfulness of sin or unbelief. And so our greatest protection against the deceitfulness of sin and unbelief is a godly, like-minded community. Now, in order to protect ourselves from these things, we have to remember that a little leaven leavens the whole dough. And so some communities are actually very antagonistic toward this place of being free from sin and unbelief. And so it's very important that we ask the Holy Spirit, at least for me, that I ask the Holy Spirit how I'm supposed to participate and at what level I receive from a certain group. And my goal is always, I want to receive, but I also, sometimes the Lord tells me just to give to others. So anyway, that's a whole long explanation of community, but I think community is very important.
It's an amazing answer, because it made me think about it, like, where I'm being affected by the type of people that I'm surrounded by.
Yeah, buddy. And I'm going to give you this last thing real quick. This is the last spiel. This is for the married fellows. Our two most important community partners, and even if you want to say this, accountability partners. And I believe this is from the Lord, so some people may disagree with this, but I actually believe this is very important. And that if you apply this, 100% of the time, you'll be safe. But the two people who need to be able to encourage us and know exactly what's going on inside of us are the Holy Spirit and our wives. They're the most important. And it's until those two relationships are secure and in the light. If those two are not secure and in the light, then all the other relationships we have will be insecure and in darkness. And they'll never be a significant source of grace for us. And that's because the Lord is the best accountability partner. The Holy Spirit is the best accountability partner. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And then we're called to be one flesh and to serve our wives and to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But if we can't walk in the light with our wives, if we can't walk in the light with the Holy Spirit, there's really no way we can walk in the light with others. That's my spiel.
That's great wisdom to leave behind for the listeners. I was about to ask you, hey, can you leave something behind? And that was perfect. That was perfect because you gave me that advice a while back ago. And I took it to heart, and I'm still working through it, but it has fixed the relationship between me and my bride and gotten us closer, and not just to each other, but even to Jesus.
Yes.
I know that each one of us will make mistakes and sin, but we can come to the foot of the cross and be forgiven, and we can start again afresh. So I thank you so much for that. The last thing I would love to ask for you is close us out in prayer.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. So Father God, I thank you for this time on Benching in the Kitchen with my bro Pablo. I thank you for his ministry, God, his life, and for his love for you, Lord. I thank you for each person who will potentially listen to this this podcast. God, I pray even today that you give them a special grace as they listen, that Lord, what I've shared, that which is from you, Lord, would be a fresh grace in their spirit, God, and that you'd impart strength, grace, growth, power, Lord, upon them. Lord, I pray for those who may not know you, that when they listen to this, they would be encountered by your love, Lord Jesus. And as they come to you, Christ, they'd be born again by your spirit, God, renewed and transformed. And that, Lord, you'd also empower them with your Holy Spirit. You give them the power of the Holy Spirit to be your witness all over the world, God. I ask that each person listening to this podcast would hunger for the deeper things of God, to really hear your heart, to know your voice, to spend time with you, God, and to give you the opportunity to really speak to them. Lord, I just pray that you give each person listening to this podcast a grace to spend time with you and to hear your voice and to know your heart, God, and that just the gifts of your spirit would flow and increase, Lord, in divine order and all goodness and righteousness in each person listening. And then, Lord, I'm also asking that you would show each person who listens to this podcast a way that they can reach out to the lost, a way that they can love their neighbor, a way that they can humble themselves before their wives, their children, their friends. Lord, that they might be able to humble themselves before you, and that you would refresh and strengthen their walk in the light, and that they'd be free from darkness, and they would be just blessed by the truth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. Thank you, Wesley. It was an amazing time. I want to thank you for taking time off from your family and your bride to do this podcast. So let them know the much love to them. I also want to give a shout out to our listener, Sean Moody.
You know, yes, Sean.
Hey, buddy. I just wanted to throw that out there. I know he's going to be listening to this episode, and you know, we wanted to give him a shout out. Thanks, Wesley, and just have a beautiful day, brother.
Thanks, Pablo. Thanks for the opportunity. I love you, man.
Love you too, brother.